Okay, I'm here with Dr. Serious Face. At night, he leads a life of crime under the alias the Joker. Kirk, as we were saying, this treading of water approach the last 2 years might be most tragic because at times it seems like the Mavericks might not end up with anything. Do you have any comments there?
You know, the last year has felt like the whole approach to this season's Game of Thrones, where anyone who's read the book knows what's coming, and as you watch it unfold, it's starting to get really painful just because there's nothing we could have done to avoid this. I mean, I suppose there is still an option. There is still the unlikelihood that Dallas signs one of these really, you know, top-notch free agents in Chris Paul or Dwight Howard, but I just don't see it happening. And it's starting to get more and more painful as it gets closer to the free agency period, because it just illustrates how bleak the situation has become. You know, when we're really far away removed from the situation, let's just say last summer or at the end of or at the start of the 2011 season, when you know, Plan Powder was put together, it felt like something that was, you know, a possibility, so it was exciting. But at this point, you know, as the reality starts to kind of take hold, it's so unlikely that it's really making me, at least, uncomfortable, because it means if they fail, the next couple of seasons are going to continue to be painful.
So it's the same situation, and you know, we've talked about this, and as you know, I feel like the reason the Mavericks shouldn't have tried this Planned Powder thing was always because they couldn't do it well enough, because they had to do so much to get down to that cap space level that they wouldn't have anything to offer free agents talent-wise, and of course that's what cost them Deron Williams. Your point, I take it, is that seeing them do this again is a dramatic real-life version of, you know, don't go in there from the horror movies.
Well, that's exactly the case, because, you know, it's such an interesting, what they tried was such an interesting idea in a vacuum, because it makes sense why they did it. Why they let Tyson Chandler and Jason Terry and everybody who clicked go. But the issue that they, and even, you know, a lot of us columnists really didn't consider, was, you know, free agency and the offseason doesn't happen in a vacuum. So what the Mavericks do is all well and good, but it doesn't matter if someone else, you know, undercuts their plans. For example, the Rockets. You know, the Rockets have been playing this game longer than Dallas has, and, you know, for the most part, unsuccessfully up until last season. I mean, these interesting off-season strategies, you know, they don't work until they do, or they do work until they don't. So, you know, I suppose there is still the likelihood that, you know, something excellent could happen, but I just don't see it. And I don't really like the idea of banking on something that's unlikely. I mean, this is why I, you know, when we go to Vegas for Summer League, you won't see me going to any casinos, because, one, I'm an idiot and would spend all my money, but two, I would keep trying because it's just so appealing. But, you know, this isn't gambling, and I'm not, you know, I don't own a sports team, so I don't understand why this kind of gamble actually was something that they thought was a good idea, even last summer.
So. Yeah. Kirk, by the way, people has already confided in all of us that he'll actually be spending all of his time at the Wayne Newton show, so the Gans casinos weren't that big a threat in the first place. Kirk, if they don't get Dwight or Chris Paul, what do you want them to do next year? What will make them happy? What will make you happy? They miss the two big free agents. What do they do?
Oh, man. I think at that point, if they don't get Chris Paul or Dwight Howard, they really have to start talking to Dirk and see what he wants. Because if Dirk is fine, if Dirk is actually willing to commit to a sort of a semi-rebuild where they actually stink for the year and then can maybe do something interesting next summer, then that's fine. But I don't think fans will tolerate it, and I certainly don't think Dirk will tolerate it. He's 35 years old in 2 weeks, and I don't really think he's going to be willing to sign off on any sort of rebuild. I think if Dallas gives him what he wants in terms of going after some of these next-tier free agents, you know, Jeff Teague in Atlanta or Brandon Jennings or any of these guys that are on restricted rookie contracts, I think they might make Dirk happy for a year or two, but at what point does making Dirk happy really start to hurt Dallas long term? Because let's just say Dirk plays till he's 38 and retires. I think that's fairly likely, even though with Dirk's body type and game, he could easily play until his early 40s and be at least semi-effective. But I don't think he wants to do that because getting in game shape and stuff starts to get tiresome after after a certain point. But if they sign any of these second tier agents, are these the kind of guys that can continue Dallas into a strong that can keep Dallas going after Dirk retires? The answer to that question, as of this point in time, is no.
Right.
And Brandon Jennings, for example, is a slightly better version of Darren Collison in that he can get on fire, but he shoots 40% at the rim. Tyreke Evans I really like, but I don't think that he actually brings what Dallas needs to the table. You know, Josh Smith is a 6'7" center. He has an amazing skill set for somebody that's too short. I don't really see any of these guys being, you know, that franchise player that, you know, any team needs if they want to be successful for more than a year or two at a time. I just don't see it. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to really talk about building through the draft.
Okay, so good. So, all right, we're facing next year, and a lot of people are torn in different directions. Like you say, it's, they get the Mavericks. If they get Chris Paul, they get Dwight Howard, maybe they get a chance to go back to the championship. Now, short answer here, if, as I say, they don't get them, would you rather they do things next year to be a fourth or fifth seed in the West? Or would you rather they just go to be a 10th and 11th seed? And does that depend on Dirk?
I think it does depend on Dirk, because with his no-trade clause, he really holds the keys to figuring out what Dallas has to do. I personally, you know my feelings about building through the draft, and I think it's the next step that Dallas has to admit is necessary. So I would rather see them do poorly in terms of a long-term situation, because I think if you sacrifice a little in the short term, you're better in the long term, versus I think if we build a team, if the Mavericks build a team capable of getting to, you know, your five, you know, even your 6-7, you know, 4-5, 6-7, 8 seed kind of team, you're not getting, you know, you're not jumping any of the guys who are on top of the mountain. You know, you're not going to get ahead of Oklahoma. I know that the West really does face some interesting choices in terms of other teams' salary cap situations this year, but I just have a hard time seeing any team or the Mavericks jumping any of the teams that have some of the youth and the potential that are, you know, kind of ascendant in the Western Conference, particularly, you know, your Golden State Warriors, for example. And if Chris Paul resigns with the Clippers as well, I mean, there are going to be some good teams. And so I think at best, the best Dallas can hope for without either one of those signings is to continue to tread water. And at what point does that become too frustrating for a team that managed to make it to the finals twice in 5 years?
Okay, great. So we're going to wrap up here with just a small segment. I'm going to ask you about a Mavericks player. You're going to tell me really briefly if you think they have a future as a Maverick and as a contributor. You ready?
Yeah.
Jay Crowder.
Yes, I think he can be a 6-8 guy, you know, one of the first few people off the bench. I think he could be with the team for a number of years.
Bernard James.
No, mainly because he is so limited and his age makes it kind of detrimental. I could see him being with the team for maybe 2 seasons. I don't see anything beyond that.
Jared Cunningham.
Who?
Yeah, good point.
No, mainly because he doesn't seem to be good at basketball.
It does seem to be the problem that he's having.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I have that problem, really.
You know, a lot of us have that problem. What about O.J. Mayo?
No, only because he doesn't seem capable of reaching his potential. He's so talented, but he's been in the league for 5 years now, or 4 years. He's been in the league long enough to where he should have been able to make an impact. He's older than Kevin Durant, so I don't see where he goes from here.
And for me, you know, I think they would re-sign him, but they're going to have to do the thing where they say, can you hang out and wait until we see if we can sign a better player, and if not, we'll look at you. I don't think he's going to be into that. All right, Darren Collison.
No, because very similar situation. He's too old to be bad at the things that he's bad yep. at still.
Yep.
I don't understand how he played at UCLA because he doesn't seem to understand team defense.
Right. Yeah. Love him. Love him as a backup. He's not going to wait around. Never going to be a starter. Probably wants to be. Our last guy, Michael James.
I hope not.
No. No, I think we both hope that Mike James is the Mavericks point guard of the future for the next decade. And thank you for that.
Well, my favorite was the article that we put up earlier about, I think it was Ian's article about his numbers for the last 10 years, about how they're the exact same when he was 27 as opposed to 37.
Yeah, I love that, like, veteran savvy guy who was crappy as a young guy and remains just as bad. So it's got that savvy. Someday, I hope that at 37 I'm as bad as I am at 28. All right, Kirk Serious Face, thank you for joining us here. Enjoyed your insight. Any last words?
No, though I am interested. I'm interested to hear who you would root for in the finals.
Yeah, well, definitely the Spurs. Everyone out there knows, you know, I'm not that big a Spurs fan, but I feel like the rivalry has actually, besides the championship rings, been pretty close. I feel like the number of playoff series won is pretty close. The number of seasons playing really well is really close. I respect them. I will always hate Dwayne Wade. I kind of hope he catches leprosy, you know, not fatally, but just to the point where he loses his important basketball and appendages. Couldn't possibly root for the Heat. There are those Mavs fans, and I respect them, who think that, in a way, the Heat's victory would burnish the Mavericks' title credentials. How impressive 2011 is. But I think you're coming up against those people who think it was a fluke in the first place. So I just think it's more of a fluke.
I think I enjoy that explanation entirely. I'm going to have to root for the Spurs.
Yep, great. All right, thank you, Kirk. Enjoy your day.
Yep, you too.